Hello and welcome back. This week in AI and coding, a lot of noise about model numbers and a genuinely interesting argument about whether those numbers matter at all. Let's start there. Nate B. Jones put out what I thought was the most useful piece of analysis this week, and the core of it is almost contrarian in how obvious it sounds once you hear it. Opus 4.8 is not the model you were waiting for. It's a checkpoint release, Jones argues, the kind of thing that gets shipped alongside a funding announcement rather than because the technology took a meaningful leap. And he has receipts. On the vending bench, Opus 4.8 actually performs worse at its highest reasoning level than at a medium one, worse in some configurations than 4.7. That's not a sign of a model that's scaled cleanly. But the more interesting part of his argument isn't really about Opus 4.8 at all. It's about what he calls the harness, the scaffolding, the tooling, the product layer that wraps around a model. His concrete example, Claude 5.5 paired with Codex deploys complete websites and iterates autonomously. Opus 4.8, in the same test, fails twice. Same company, different harness. The gap isn't in the weights. It's in everything around them. His practical conclusion, which I think is worth sitting with if you're making architectural decisions, build for API swap flexibility. Don't let yourself get locked into one provider when the landscape is shifting this fast. World of AI ran the direct three-way comparison. GPT 5.5, Opus 4.8, Gemini 3.5 Flash, and the results were actually pretty coherent with what you'd expect if you've been paying attention. GPT 5.5 wins on consistency for complex coding and agentic workflows. Opus 4.8 is genuinely strong on design and writing, which has always been the Opus line's territory. Gemini 3.5. Flash is fast and cheap, which makes it the obvious choice for rapid iteration. Not a single winner, in other words. A set of tools with different profiles. Cole Medin turned that observation into a production workflow. He built an 8-step pipeline in Archon that routes different parts of the task to different models. Gemini 3.5 Flash handles UI generation, Opus handles planning and back-end integration, and the whole thing runs through OpenRouter so you're not tied to any one vendor. The logic is sound. Specialized models for specialized steps stitched together with a workflow layer that doesn't care who made the model. While we're on Anthropic, there's been a lot of chatter this week about a model called Mythos. Nate Herc reconstructed what actually happened. It briefly appeared on Anthropic's API. It's a cybersecurity specialized model. And it's currently only being distributed to select partners through something called Project Glasswing. World of AI also mentioned a possible successor, internally codenamed Oceanus. Herc's read, which strikes me as the sensible one, the speculation is running well ahead of the substance. The more likely scenario is that whatever Mythos can do gets folded into future Opus versions rather than released as a standalone product. Worth knowing about, not worth reorganizing your roadmap around. The Anthropic story that actually deserves attention this week is structural, not a model release. Claude Code's new dynamic workflows feature, covered in depth by both Nate Herc and Mark Kashef, lets you orchestrate up to 1,000 subagents on a single task. Kashef walks through all 6 core patterns systematically. Classify and act, fan out and synthesize, adversarial verification, generate and filter, tournament loop until done. The applications he demonstrates range from email triage to due diligence checks to codebase optimization. It's a genuinely different way of thinking about what a coding agent does. Herc, who has logged over 500 hours in the Claude ecosystem, ranked the 12 most important Claude Code features this week, and his placement of dynamic workflows in the B tier is telling. Useful, he says, but not yet something he reaches for every day. The S-tier features in his ranking, skills, subagents, /goal, auto memory, are the ones that compound over time and change how you work at a fundamental level. Dynamic workflows is powerful but situational. That's a useful calibration if you're trying to figure out where to invest your attention. Bart Sladichka also showed that you can run dynamic workflows entirely locally through LM Studio without an Anthropic API key, which is the kind of thing that changes the calculus for people who are cost-sensitive or privacy-conscious. Shifting to local and open source, which had a genuinely strong week. Gemma 412b from Google got serious attention. Sladichka tested it on a 16GB M4 Mac Mini and found performance surprisingly close to the 26B Mixture of Experts model. Multimodal, text, image, audio, 250,000 token context window, multi-token prediction for faster generation. World of AI's testing confirmed the picture. For a model that runs on consumer hardware with 16GB of RAM, that's a meaningful result. The open source surprise of the week, though, was Minimax M3. World of AI tested it across coding, multimodal reasoning, and long context workflows, and found it outperforming GPT 5.5 and Gemini in several categories at a fraction of the cost. It's available through the Minimax API, their M-code platform, and OpenRouter. That's the kind of release that tends to get underreported because there's no big company behind it doing PR. But it matters. NVIDIA had a busy week. At GTC Taipei, they announced Nemotron 3 Ultra, 550 billion parameters, hybrid Mamba transformer architecture, 5 times faster inference, 30% lower cost than comparable open models, and they're releasing the training data. That last part is genuinely notable. Most labs treat training data as the crown jewels. They also announced RTX Spark, a Blackwell GPU and Grace CPU combined on a single chip, aimed at running local AI agents on consumer laptops. And Tim Karambat covered the N1 and NYX laptop platform with the GB10 superchip, which is supposed to run 120 billion parameter models locally with a million token context window. Whether the real-world performance lives up to the spec sheet is a different question. But the direction is clear. Serious local inference on consumer hardware is becoming a real category. On the coding agent side outside of Claude, Cursor shipped Composer 2.5. Tech with Tim benchmarked it against Opus 4.7 and GPT 5.5 and found it significantly faster and cheaper. 50 cents per task versus $7 for Opus 4.7. And in his live demo, it produced a working web application first. Melvinx was more skeptical, fine for small fixes, but not matching the top models on quality and reliability for serious work. Both of those things can be true simultaneously. Leon Van Zyl made the case for OpenCode as a more efficient alternative to Claude Code when you're working with local models. The specific issue he identified is that Claude Code's system prompts are token-heavy in ways that overwhelm local models. OpenCode is leaner and works cleanly with Ollama models like Gemma 4 or Llama 3.6. Neural 9 covered CC usage, an open-source tool that analyzes token consumption across Claude, Codex, and OpenCode CLIs, and shows you estimated API costs, even when you're on a subscription. Melvinx also put out a tool, Run It with NPX AI Blueprint Unify, that migrates your Claude code configuration to Cursor and keeps both in sync via symlinks. Small thing, but the kind of quality of life improvement that matters if you're working across multiple environments. Theo from t3.gg had 3 essays this week, all worth mentioning. The Cloudflare acquisition of Void Zero, the company behind Veet, he reads as a strategic move to build an agent-optimized cloud platform that directly challenges Vercel. The argument is that owning the build tooling and the deployment infrastructure together creates a tighter loop that's particularly valuable when AI agents are doing the deploying. His second piece was on what he's calling prompt technical debt. Your claude.md and agents.md files accumulate cruft the same way codebases do, and the maintenance burden grows. His recommendation is minimal, specific prompts rather than elaborate instruction sets. His third take, that AI tools reduce the damage done by weaker engineers by forcing better technical decisions, is the kind of observation that will annoy people and is probably partially right. Brian Castle addressed something I think is genuinely underappreciated: design drift in AI-generated UIs. Every time an agent starts a new session, it reinvents your color palette, your typography, your component patterns. His solution is a design system defined in Claude.md or Agents.md that the agent has to respect for every UI request. He's released this as a Rails and React starter template. It's the right instinct. The problem is real and the fix is structural. Hermes was the most covered agent platform this week, largely because of the new desktop app for Windows, macOS, S, and Linux. Alex Finn, AI MIT Arnie, World of AI, and the AI Grid all covered it from different angles. The consensus: installation is dramatically simpler than the old WSL-based workflow. And the feature set: Kanban Orchestrator, background sessions, the curator daemon that automatically archives outdated skills, multi-profile support. Puts it in a different category: from simple chatbot wrappers. Julian Ivanov highlighted Session Search specifically, which does full-text search across past conversations without consuming tokens. That's the kind of detail that sounds minor until you've lost something important to context window limits. On the business and strategy side, Nate B. Jones discussed a Microsoft study finding that 86% of users treat AI output as a starting point rather than a finished product. His conclusion from this is uncomfortable but worth taking seriously. The traditional artifacts that demonstrate human judgment, memos, finished projects, polished deliverables, no longer distinguish between someone who thought carefully and someone who just prompted well. His proposed alternative is documented whiteboard sessions that make the thinking process visible across four dimensions: situation, decision, risk, and change. It's a reasonable response to a real problem. David Shapiro pushed back on the last 300 days of work discourse that circulated this week. His point is the one that tends to get lost in these conversations. Even if AI is genuinely improving productivity, the adoption curve, through corporate decision-making processes, individual behavior change, organizational inertia, takes far longer than the technology curve. The models get better faster than institutions learn to use them. That gap is where most of the near-term story actually lives. On the question of whether we've reached AGI, Nate Herc cited an Anthropic internal report showing that over 80% of their shipped code is now written by Claude, and that the model achieves a 76% success rate on open-ended tasks, up from 26% 6 months ago. Herc frames this as a factual AGI threshold. I'd say the definition of AGI is doing a lot of work in that sentence, but the underlying numbers are striking regardless of what you call them. Quick notes before we close. Meta's AI pendant, based on the Limitless startup, is targeting a 2027 test launch at the earliest, and the AI Grid's read is that privacy concerns and market positioning remain genuinely unsolved. Microsoft's Majorana 2 quantum chip can apparently hold qubits stable for up to a minute compared to microseconds previously, with commercial applications estimated no earlier than 2029. ChatGPT's updated memory system, automatic context storage from chats, files, and connected apps got a fresh explainer from the iGrid if you want the current state of it. And Alibaba's Qwen 3.7 Plus, as a multimodal coding model, surfaced in several news roundups without much depth. So file that one for later. The thread I keep coming back to this week is the harness argument. We've spent 2 years talking about model releases as if the model is the product. The evidence accumulating now, in Jones's analysis, in Cole Medin's multimodal workflows, in the Cursor versus Claude code comparisons, in the whole Hermes ecosystem, points somewhere different. The model is increasingly a commodity layer. What you build around it, how you orchestrate it, how you route different tasks to different capabilities, whether your design system survives a context reset. That's where the actual work is happening. The benchmark scores are almost beside the point.